This is a Project Humanoid production. Whammo.
We should start off a little different today.
If you insist.
ProjectHumanoid.com is the website. Murder My Dude is the social media. You can find us on Facebook, Truth Social, Instagram, and the like.
You should put Truth Social first. That's our primary social media account.
Gotcha.
For Project Humanoid, this is Murder, My Dude. I'm VP Burke.
And today I'm Jackson Wells.
And
that's the proper opening.
Yes. I thought that other one was supposed to like go before the music.
Oh.
The way I don't know. You kind of swung it on me at the very last second.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I was inspired to say it different. Inspired to try something different today. But I didn't give you a heads up as to what was different or where it would be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's up to you. You want to put it before the music? Put it before. You want to put it after the music? People are going to be like, what are you talking about?
What if I put it in the middle of Who Died the Worst?
Or the middle of the music.
Okay.
And then nobody would hear it.
I like the way you think.
Yeah.
Nobody will hear it.
You like that part?
No.
Oh.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I want people to hear it.
Yeah, that's...
I loved it.
That's what you need to do. But also, you need to email us at murdermydude@gmail.com. Is that the email address?
Yes, murdermydude@gmail.com.
If you have any questions or comments, hate mail, love mail... or if you just, you know, want to give us banana bread recipes, email us. Somebody, for fuck's sake, email us.
Well, we did get an email like years ago.
I'm gonna be very honest with you. We don't get emails from anybody. We're begging at this point. I'm begging you for more hate mail. The only email I ever got from anybody was hate mail.
I just want more people to follow us on Truth Social.
That's nobody follows thing. Us on Truth. That's the
bummed.
So I got a notification for Truth Social. I forgot that I was on there because look, this isn't Jackson Wells talking right now. Okay,
I'm confused. I thought this was Jackson Wells.
You today said you I'm were Jackson Wells, yeah. But because I played.
But are you?
Well, I no right now. This is the actor that plays Jackson.
It's
Wells.
So confusing because you're an actor and I'm a real person.
You're
named BP
100%
Burke,
real.
Brian
yeah.
Paddington Burke.
Right. Yeah. But to peek behind the curtain, so I'm the actor that plays Jackson Wells. Jackson Wells gets a little, you know, he gets a little right wingy sometimes. Okay, he puts on his red hat.
Your hat's like gray and black.
Well, I'm the actor. They can't see this. Oh. This is what we call theater of the mind.
Oh.
But anyway, I did sign up for a Truth Social account just, you know, for the heck of it. And I was really upset that we got no followers. We tell people every week that we have a Truth Social. The problem is the people that listen to our show don't want Truth Social. I think that's the and we've also alienated all of the Trump supporters.
Yeah, we kind of did do that.
Yeah, we did that. So there's no point in us having Truth Social. So I say we keep it up anyway. Keep it up and maybe one day
and
somebody will follow
it's
us.
It's still the flagship. My mission on this podcast now is to have at least three people follow us on Truth Social.
Really?
I want three followers. Do we follow anybody on Truth Social?
Yeah, I think so.
And they don't follow back?
No, nobody follows back.
Oh.
Who do we follow on Truth Social? We follow A Day in History.
Okay.
Hold on. What?
Uh-oh.
We have two followers?
Yes, it's blown up.
We have two followers.
Truth Social
is... Oh, one is me.
Oh, well.
Does that count?
Is it you or is it the actor who plays you?
Oh, I mean... One isn't me. One is me. It's the actor that plays me. But another one, we have another guy, Frank. So thanks, Frank.
Is it the guy that I work for?
That would be fun.
He would fit right in on Truth Social.
So, we follow science videos.
Okay.
It's at Science Vids.
On Truth Social?
On Truth Social. This is who I follow.
Like, okay. I want to see these videos. Global warming fake.
But I follow it.
Yeah.
This day in history, and the icon is Lincoln, it's at history.
Well, he was the first Republican president.
At Brom Bones, that's a handsome fella right there. Yeah. He goes by the name of Human. I don't know. I follow him. That's cool. One is called WTF Facts. It's at Fact. F-A-C-T.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also follow at Trending.
Okay.
So these are the ones that I follow. Or, I mean, we follow.
Yeah. I got to get on the Truth Social more.
No.
Why?
Because why? Why am I even on here?
Because you're not going to be censored. You can say everything you want to say.
I say everything I want to say on all the other platforms.
No, they censor you.
No, they don't.
Zuckerberg hates you.
Because I don't say the N-word.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't? I'm so surprised about that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you sure?
Me or Jackson Wells?
Okay, either.
No.
Okay, you're not sure. You might have said it.
Have you ever said the word?
At some point in my life, I'm sure I have, yes. Mm.
Yeah. Do you remember when you gave her all respect?
I do.
Why'd you say I do like that? You said I do.
I don't know.
I do. But anyway, no, I don't. I don't say it. I don't. I don't call anybody the word. And I'm a little upset that you're surprised by that. The only argument I've ever made about it was when people say you shouldn't say it at all. And I've always said if you're using it in a historical context. If you're talking about the etymology of the word or the history mm-hmm. of the word, if you're talking about it in that type of context, I never see a problem with it. So long as you're not calling anybody the word.
I can understand an argument. I understand also that most people or a lot of people will disagree with it at this point.
But, yeah, sure.
No, I understand.
But a lot of people disagree with a lot of shit. I don't need to respect their opinion. You know, I know what the word has turned into mm-hmm. and I know how the word makes people feel. I also not only how the word makes people feel, but I know what the word does. I know how much the word triggers people. It upsets people and whatever it does. It's a awful word at this point.
I'm gonna say bad. It's a bad word.
It is a bad word.
It's a naughty word.
It's a jerk word.
It is. That word is a jerk.
That word is a jerk. But is it not?
It is a jerk. Yes. Yeah,
but it's
word.
become a word that it's just like it's not even worth the hassle of even saying yeah. like or even using it in some kind of historical context. Like mm-hmm. I don't think that I would, if I was writing a script, I don't think I would Tarantino it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's off limits now.
No, I don't think it's off limits. I think it, for me, it's off limits.
Right.
But I also support somebody else's freedom to do so.
I love Tarantino.
Like,
and he loves that word. He loves that word more than I love him.
I think he just likes saying the word.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit more than just having the freedom of doing it or wanting to talk mm-hmm. about it in a historical context. Do some other kind of history where they don't say the word, yeah. dude.
By the way, I have a, I didn't tell you this, over there on my dresser, we have a dresser in the studio for some reason. I have a Black Panther flag. A Black Panther banner.
The Marvel Black Panther?
No, the Black Panther.
Really?
Black Panther. Yeah. Like, it is, it's a panther in like a circle, and around the circle it says, something like, all power to the people.
Why?
Funny story.
Okay. I got time.
My,
I'm not saying, listen, by the way, that Black Panther party, the original uh-huh. Black Panther party, totally fucking needed to be.
Yeah, anti-oppression at a time when there was a lot of oppression.
Yeah, they started to. What I love about it too is when they busted out the rifles.
Yeah, they got the NRA to be anti-gun.
Yeah, then they got the NRA to be like, whoa, we can't be walking around with guns like that. Say, hey, NRA.
So.
They still, by the way, they still don't want Black people to have guns. Only white people. I noticed that about a lot of both sides, by the way. It's all like, you can't do this, but I can.
Yeah.
But we can. We fully support. It's
very close to the NIMBY thing. Like, you want things, but not in your backyard. Like, everybody wants more prisons, but they want a prison being built across the street.
Prism?
Prison.
Oh, I thought I want more prism.
Me too. I miss prism.
Yeah, I miss wrestling.
They had wrestling. They had hockey. They had Phillies baseball.
I wasn't really watching sports like that, but wrestling I was.
Debate.
And there's probably some kind of TV show or
movies.
Something. Was there movies on
prison? Yeah, they did movies.
All right. So you have a funny story about your Black Panther. It's a flag, you said?
It's a banner.
It's a banner. How big is it?
Pretty big.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so display it.
I'm trying to think of a good place to display it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I propose.
Uh-huh.
When we get the actual studio built, finished.
Black Panther banner?
Oh, I'll put it up.
All right, yeah.
What do I care? I actually like the Black Panthers. Do you remember... There's a famous picture of, now I'm saying I like them, and yet the name Seals. What's his name?
Bobby Seals.
I
believe it was. Yeah.
So it was either him or names are escaping me. It's been a long time. They hit this like big wicker like chair that he's sitting in, and my ex had
Bobby
like,
Seal.
Was it Seal?
Yeah, Seale.
It was either him or look up the other who are the other people that like started. The Black Panther, like they kind of like spearheaded
Huey P. Newton.
Huey P. Newton. Yeah, maybe that's
yeah,
that's
Huey
it.
P.
There
Newton.
It is.
Yep, there it
that's
is.
That's the chair. So, yeah,
Huey P. Newton also a great name.
So it's great.
That's
I said
a great name.
I said he spearheaded, and somebody could be like, "Oh, that's racist." You know how people are going to go, and it's hilarious. What's he holding in his hands?
A spear.
His spear. He's holding
and a gun.
And a gun. Right. And I love that picture. I fucking absolutely love that picture. But my ex had a chair just like that in the basement, and I was like, dude, that's like the Black Panther chair. This is a long time, and I meant this Black Panther, not the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read into like a lot of it, and I thought that it was like I think that it was needed. I think it was one of these clubs like, sorry, you can't join our club, you know, this isn't for you. And it seems racist, but I think it needed to be done because of, you know, yeah, it was rising up and it was, you know, at a time that it needed to. Now, after that, like, you know, it's like feminism, like when you have like third wave feminism, it kind of loses. It's like you don't stand for what you originally stood for. I feel like the new Black Panther Party kind of just went a little crazy. Like they were doing voter intimidation, like in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
People were going to vote at the polls and there were new Black Panthers like trying to scare white people away from voting. I mean, that's not cool, but the original Black Panther Party, fucking, I love it. So is that what this banner is?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So go ahead.
So yeah, basically they,
hold on. Let me close the Truth Social app as you tell me the story.
We should have it open at all times. Okay.
I don't know. This just makes me feel dirty and icky. Oh. And go ahead.
Real quick. When you said third wave feminism,
mm-hmm.
I thought of a stadium full of feminists, like, doing the wave. Go, whoa!
It's the third time they do it.
And they come around, and by the third time it comes around, like, less people, the people are just aren't as enthusiastic about doing the wave.
Yeah.
It's third wave feminism. It's a really strange show today.
Man!
The banner.
Better.
I'm on another podcast. I'm on a wrestling podcast as well, Tornado Tag Podcast. And the host of that podcast, Tony.
Black man?
Huh?
He's a black man?
He's a black whale.
Oh.
And he got banners because he just got new logos for the show.
Okay.
And one of the banners he wanted to get was for this tag team main event. It was a drawing of this tag team, the local, like, we're out of New York.
Called M-A-N-E. Main
event. Yeah.
Because they're doing like a circus gimmick, right?
Yeah, one okay. is a ringmaster right. and the other is a mask guy Steve and he's Austin. A lion. No, he's a literal ringmaster, like top hat and the coat.
Oh, okay. Not like Stone Cold when he joined WWE.
No, he's a literal ringmaster, like gotcha. In a circus.
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then his tag team partner is a lion. Like, he's a guy in a lion mask who has, like, a steak he puts in his mouth.
Well, you always lying.
No, actually, it's L-Y-O-N is how he spells his last name.
Ah, so that's cool. I like that.
And, like, they do a spot where the ringmaster guy's name is Midas. Midas will hold a hula hoop along the ropes,
right?
And then his partner Jay Lyon will do like a dive through the hula hoop through the ropes and hit
pretty
the guy
cool.
on the ringside.
Like
I love main event. Main event's actually they've been doing some really cool stuff lately. They just wrestled for...
Let's not get too sidetracked here.
Yeah. Anyway, Main Event's awesome. Love those guys. And so we ordered the banner with Main Event on it, and they sent a Black Panther banner instead. They sent the wrong banner, which means there's somebody, one of the Black Panthers banner somewhere probably, like for the Black Panther party, and they got like a wrestling podcast banner with a cartoon ringmaster and a cartoon lion on them.
And now they probably are like, hey, fuck this place. they're trying to get something serious.
Yeah.
And they end up with like a cartoon
and I guess
like, circus.
But they wound up sending them the banner, but they're like, no, you don't have to send the other one back. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. I was like, I'll take it.
That's funny.
That's a cool banner. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I would gladly display that.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
I'm going to hang it on the front deck.
You know, one thing, it's funny because I thought about this for, I always look at somebody else's podcast and I'm like, what would I do differently?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had what they have, how would I add to it? What would I do? And you know, when you go on, you're on Tornado Tag every week, and the way Tony's setup is, he's got the curtains that kind of go around. I always look at it
for you, see,
and I'm like, I would put mini like banners around the thing, like the flags, like NWA would have.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, I would do that, and then have the, you know, the Tornado Tag is the big centerpiece,
right?
But going around, I would have like the, yeah, like the like smaller country banners, like mm-hmm. they would have,
yeah,
in NWA.
The thing I love that NWA does now is they have the Mongrovia flag up there still. From
I
the
saw
mark.
That with a question mark. Yeah,
it was like the fake country the guy was supposed to be from, and then he died. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's enough
jibber jabber.
Was that enough jibber jabber? 16 yeah. minutes of jibber jabber is pretty good.
Yeah,
I think
that's about right.
Yeah,
so we do 15 to 20 minutes. So we're going to do a segment now that we like to call This Week Murder.
Murder.
Indianapolis man on GPS monitoring. What? A GPS monitoring charged with murder.
Police in Indianapolis had a very strong lead in the murder of 44-year-old Daryl Monk, is his nickname, Daryl Monk Ransom Jr. on June 17th. The suspect in the case, 32-year-old David Ice, fake name!
Dave Ice.
His
brother of Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Ice, he was on American Idol.
Yeah.
He lost to Carrie Underwood.
Right. I call her Carrie Underwear.
David Ice was wearing a GPS tracking device at the time. After,
or is it Davey Dice?
Davey Dice, yeah.
Yeah.
Davey Dice, I like it. He was wearing a GPS tracking device at the time after being charged with two felonies in April. Ice's prior charges were from separate incidents. He was charged with felony battery for allegedly beating a co-worker at a Salvation Army building. And that charge came a little bit after two charges for auto theft and illegal driving.
Oh, no.
The charges were consolidated in the one hearing with a plea deal that saw ICE receive a 2-year suspended sentence, mandated anger management classes. I believe there are also anti-theft classes.
Okay.
And GPS monitoring. Anti-theft classes. Like, for my job now, part of my job is when we hire new people, I have to train them and teach training classes. I don't know how I would teach an anti-theft class.
Don't steal.
Yeah.
Class dismissed.
End of the class.
Did you consolidation? I don't know. So the charges were consolidated. Do you remember there being commercials growing up where they talk about consolidation?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What would it have been? Was it like a Crazy Eddie's or something?
That would be more like liquidation, probably.
Was it liquidation?
If they're consolidating their stock, like they're usually that's if you're like closing a store.
But I just remember there being commercials growing up where they talked about consolidation.
Well, nowadays it's probably like debt consolidation.
I mean, this is years ago.
Yeah,
I associate certain words with.
But I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think you would confuse a Crazy Eddie commercial with a debt consolidation, because that's like if you have all
not debt.
Yeah, but that like when I think of
it could be a product.
Yeah.
Inventory consolidation.
Yeah, like if you have five stores and you're closing one of them, you're gonna
right. Yeah.
Want to sell off some stuff so you can consolidate your inventory into the other stores. But no, most of the time it's like, oh, you have all this debt. Like, you can put it all in
the
one
thing.
Did
you say most of the time?
Most of the time.
Oh, most of the time. I thought you said most of the time.
Yeah, like zero mostal. Or Mostel.
I thought it was Mostel.
It is Mostel. But I didn't say Mostel. I said Mostel.
You did. Mostel Malone.
So.
Ransom's girlfriend.
Ransom's girlfriend was too distraught to talk to the media, but did note that she felt failed by the justice system. Rick Snyder, president of Indianapolis' Fraternal Order of Police, agreed, criticizing what he called catch-and-release justice in the county.
The FOP, what a great organization.
You're not getting pulled over.
What are you talking
about? Isn't that the whole thing? You'd like show your FOP card, you get pulled over, you're supposed to get out of a ticket?
It's more than that. My parents are all like,
they were fops.
Yeah,
they were foppish.
Yeah, they saw there's a, my mom's car has a FOP fucking thing on it because all my family on both sides were all cops.
I always remember,
well, not all cops because there's a lot of fucking convicts too.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I always remember when I was a kid growing up. Sometimes you'll get a call from.
It's good that you remember.
I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah,
even though it was so long ago. Sometimes we would get calls, phone calls from, the FOP.
Well, I didn't think it was, a yodel. I didn't think they were yodeling to you. I mean, then again, with your background.
Yeah. You never know. But, yeah, we would get calls from the FOP, trying to collect money. Yeah, we would get, a
thing. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got an FOP call.
Well, you probably were already giving money to them. And so what Snyder did say was, quote, I think it's fair for the family to have strong questions on why this offender was out, who is now to allege to have taken the life of their loved one. He pointed to ICE's already lengthy criminal record before the two incidents earlier in the year. It's the revolving door that continues to spin and more people continue to die, Snyder added. The point we keep making is these deaths are preventable. The county prosecutor's office did not talk to the media, but did release a statement, a very clinical statement. In May, the defendant pleaded guilty to battery F6 and habitual traffic violator F6. Both are level 6 felonies. The defendant was sentenced to 2 years in Marion County Community Corrections. Additionally, conditions included anti-theft classes and anger management classes. A level 6 felony carries a sentencing range of 0.5 to 2.5 years with an advisory sentence of 1 year. But again, the sentence was suspended, so we didn't have to serve it. GPS tracking allowed police to apprehend ICE 5 hours after the incident, and it also placed him at the crime scene at the time of the shooting. It's believed that ICE shot Ransom during an argument over money and a drug deal between the two.
Oh, wow. Well, that's not good.
It is not good.
He's a jerk.
He is a jerk.
Yeah.
Bad man.
UK jury hears case of man accused of killing wife, hiding her body in septic tank for almost 40 years.
Pig farmer David Venables.
It would be fun if it was Venables.
Venables.
Yeah, but it's Venables.
Venables.
Venables? Venables.
It might be Venables because it's from England.
Yeah, who knows?
David Venables. I'm going to say Venables. It's probably Venables.
Sure.
I was thinking there used to be a baseball player, Will Venable. That's why I said
Venables.
Well,
then Venables. Just say Venables.
I like Venables.
It's V-E-N-A-B-L-E. Oh, so it's just the way we like it.
Yeah.
I like Venables, so it's now it's vegetables.
Pig farmer Davy Venables, now 89, reported his wife Brenda missing on May 4th, 1982, Star Wars Day.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah.
That's around the time the Return of the Jedi came out.
I was going to say, it's around time, the one movie came out, too. It's funny.
Police efforts to locate her at the time came up empty, and it was suspected that Brenda, who had a history of depression, had disappeared and possibly killed herself. Bones were found on the farmland twice, but were assumed to belong to animals. The big break in the case came in 2019 when Venables sold his Worcestershire farmhouse to his nephew. Do you think they made sauce there?
Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
You don't really put that on pork, though, and he was a pig farmer. He should have been a cattle farmer.
I'm sorry. Say this again?
You don't really put that on pork.
Who doesn't put that on pork?
You put Worcestershire sauce on pork?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I literally made ribs last night.
Oh.
And I put a little bit of Worcestershire sauce on them, and I did a dry rub, and I put some Worcestershire sauce, and then I finished them off with some Sweet Baby Ray's.
Oh, I like Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah.
So he sold the house to his nephew, Mr. Venables. Mm-hmm. The nephew had the septic tank behind the house emptied, and human remains, including a skull, were found inside, along with scraps of clothes consistent with clothing sold in the early 1980s.
Yeah, I didn't go overboard with the Worcestershire.
You know, I was going to ask you if you did.
I know you were, but don't fret.
I'm not.
Okay.
Do I sound like I'm fretting?
A little bit.
No. Well, I don't mean to.
Yeah.
DNA testing confirmed that the bones belong to Brenda Venables.
Mm.
Brenda Venables. Yeah, I can see that. I can see them saying Venables in England. It's suspected that David had killed his wife to get her out of the way so he could continue a long-standing affair with Lorraine Stiles.
Ooh.
Stiles and Venables met while she was caring professionally for his mother, and the two wound up conducting an on-again, off-again affair over the next decade and a half.
So what I don't understand about the 4 years of doing this show, three and a half, right? Is that, like, when we see things like this, why don't they just leave? Why do they need to kill them?
Usually, if it's a marriage, you might not want to give up their money in a divorce.
That's true, yeah.
Brenda became aware of the affair, and Lorraine began wanting more. And in 1981, David promised Lorraine he would get a divorce so the two could start a new life together. Quote, he wanted her out of the way. He wanted to resume his long-standing affair with another woman, prosecutor Michael Burroughs said before the court. Mm. Barrister, I believe they're called in England, aren't they? I think a barrister.
I don't know.
I think a barrister is somebody who argues before a judge.
I haven't been there in a long time.
Me neither.
Like,
he knew about the septic tank and its secluded location.
A couple hundred years.
It was, for him, almost the perfect hiding place. It meant he didn't have to travel and risk being seen making a suspicious journey around the time of her disappearance, or risk being seen disposing of her body somewhere else. And of course, even if someone did think to look inside the tank, her body would be hidden from view. And for nearly 40 years, it was the perfect place, and he got away with murder. Prosecutors also pointed to police at the time, noting that Venables, quote, didn't seem anxious in any way while his wife was missing, and that he appeared calm at the time. Burroughs also called the idea that Brenda left their remote farmhouse and was attacked on the premises by someone else besides her husband and stuffed in the septic tank preposterous. Venables claimed innocence, saying he woke up the morning of May 4th, 1982, and saw his wife was no longer next to him.
Well, that's probably true.
Well, yeah, because you killed her. And
you killed her, yeah.
And stuffed her in a septic tank.
Right.
So, yeah. I guess that is a good one. I wonder how many people are just sitting in septic tanks. Like, how many bodies are just sitting in septic tanks around the world?
It's just so weird, like, that people need to resort to murder.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, if they didn't, we wouldn't have the show, and we would do, like, economics, my dude, or some shit.
Assault,
like that.
Assault, my dude.
Yeah.
Thievery, my dude.
Oh, it's so boring. Thanks, murder.
Murder is good.
It's not good, but it's a necessary evil, I guess. You know, I think about that all the time. I think about, like, I've asked this before, we've talked about this, where we are in a different place, but, like, if you could press one button, it's a never have anybody raped or murdered button ever in the history of ever, would you press that button? And if you, and if the answer is no, people are like, well, you're a piece of shit. But if the answer is yes, you're going to disappear because you could never have been born without, and a lot of things you liked would have never been there without it. Like you're.
Well, I think I would have been born if murder didn't exist.
Maybe no, not. No, you definitely wouldn't have been born, because somewhere along the line, some motherfuckers killed somebody for some shit, like, and got knocked somebody out of the way.
Okay,
there's somewhere down the line, murder had to happen for you to be here, and for you to also enjoy things too. Like, the things you enjoy, like, I was thinking about this, like, you're a wrestling fan, right?
Uh-huh.
Think of how fucked up it is if you could just press a button and say, all right, fine, never, in the history of ever, will there be, like, I don't know, rape. You press that button, well, you don't get things that you like today, because this disappears, and that disappears, and that disappears. I was watching an old Hollywood thing, and it was like, it was like old Hollywood and like all the things that these people had to go through. It's like, it's awful. They paid the ultimate price, like a lot of them did, for what we like today. Like, we enjoy, you know, shitty Netflix and shitty movies today, all because these other people had to go through all these crazy things. Like, they couldn't go over a certain weight. Hollywood owned their name. And I'm like, oh my God, it's WWE.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, you see the way that this studio
has. This is what acting would be like if there was no SAG.
But the thing is that it got to, and if you didn't have that stuff in the beginning, you probably wouldn't have had anything today like you do now.
We do stand on the shoulders of our predecessors.
You would have never gotten all the cool shit that we've gotten. So unfortunately, it's a necessary evil. Like, for you to, but I know some people are like, well, I'd rather not have the fucking movies and shit then. As I get that. I understand that part, you know, but like, think of how many things in history that we enjoy that would not, yeah, that just wouldn't exist.
I'm a little confused on how, besides like, okay, certain people may have never been born because there was a rape somewhere in their ancestry.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that if there was no rape, there would be no pro wrestling thing. Like,
there's a lot of people that were literally raped in there. A lot of.
Well, yeah, but if that didn't happen, there would still be wrestling.
I don't know. I don't like, cause there's a lot of shit that gets hidden. There's a lot of favors that have been done.
Oh, things would have been different.
Things would have been way different. Things would have been way, way, way different. It's not just wrestling. It's a lot of stuff. I think that, and things would have probably fucking died off too.
Like, I think if we, not forever, but if we press a button now and there's no rape or murder ever again.
Well, we'll never know. Yeah. I mean, we'll never know. Like, if I'm just, I think that's what I think.
Well, I'm working on the button, so we may know.
Okay. But what I'm saying is I think that if,
I'm going to post updates on the progress of the button on Truth Social.
You just want to make a joke out of rape.
I'm being serious here.
If you hit this fucking button, this hypothetical button, I think that a lot of shit, and it was like, okay, this just erases like the timeline of things that you like. I think a lot of it disappears because so much had to happen. There's so many fucking things that like, it's climbing that ladder. Like, you would always hear back in the 90s, like, oh, the dude from Live had to suck dick to get a record contract or things like, and it's like, you're like, it's just, you know, it's baloney, you know,
it's malarkey.
Yeah.
As the president would say.
And then you find out like, oh no, wait, shit like that was really fucking happening.
Yeah. There was a lot of casting couch shit.
A lot of it. And then, you know, like, going back to the old Hollywood things, like, even if like certain people, they would, certain studios would go to the other studios and be like, don't hire this person.
Oh yeah. People got blackballed all the time.
Yeah. And it was like, if people didn't follow the rules or whatever,
just like wrestling now.
Yeah. I know.
Again.
I think you'd be surprised if you hit that button and you eliminate.
Well,
but you'll never know. Cause you can't do that.
Stay tuned to Truth Social because the work is being done on the button.
Okay. All right.
But there's also work being done here. Anytime you work, you need a break. And we're going to take one right now. So, yeah.
We're back.
That was when the Big Red Gum made my tongue all ouchy. We're talking about Big Red Gum during the break.
Yeah. Talking gum.
Actually, the worst time,
riveting
talk. It was cinnamon Altoids. It made my like tongue break out in bumps and cracks.
So I picked up an empty thing of Extra. This show is sponsored by Extra.
It is not. This show is sponsored by Anchor FM, the easiest way to podcast.
And so I was like, oh, damn, it's empty. He's like, oh, I have gum. And he hands me some bullshit spearmint gum. And I was like, ugh. And he goes, you don't like spearmint? And I said, no. So he handed me Polar Ice, which is not much better. But it's, you know, better
than nothing. Were you looking for like a fruity gum?
I'm just looking for something that has, you know, good flavor and doesn't fucking, like, I think you like putting that, that Dr. Scholl's, like, the foot powder. You like the medicated foot powder. You like throwing that shit in your mouth, I bet. Don't you?
No, I've never tried it. Those were the only two kind of gums at the checkout counter at the Aldi's. He's going to walk off the show.
Let's do this fucking show. Let's get this fucking done and over with. Fucking Aldi's.
Aldi's, yeah. I go to Aldi's almost every day.
Do you ever go to Walmart's?
No, it's too far away for my works.
Right. Okay. You're next to the McDonald's.
Yes, I am.
And a Wendy.
McDonald's and Wendy, yeah.
Yeah, the McDonald. Why did I say, yeah.
And I'm and across the street from Brother Buffet.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And Dunham.
Right.
And Boscov.
Yeah, at the malls.
At the malls, yeah. It's been a while since we've done this, but before we get into the story, I want to throw out a little content advisory.
Oh, I thought you were singing. It's been a while. I was like, oh, damn, we're on Truth Social for just a little bit, and you're singing Stained.
Are they, like, right-wing?
Oh, God, he is very right-wing.
Oh, wow, okay.
All right. I don't know about them, but I know he is.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah, Lewis or whatever.
Yeah, Aaron Lewis.
So the killer in question on this episode is particularly bad, even by true crime standards. So if you're sensitive to crimes targeted at young women, girls in some cases, you may want to skip to who died the worst on this one. And it's fairly known that one of the all-time indicators of serial killing pathology is cruelty to animals. And Anthony Allen Shore ticked that box early on, around the age of 4 or 5. Mm. At one point, he was told that he couldn't play with a neighbor's kitten, so he lashed out by stabbing it and killing it. So not all bad. He killed a cat. Not all bad.
I just talked to somebody about this the other day. I said, when I was little, I think I'm borderline serial killer.
You're borderline a lot of things.
Thank you. I think you're just trying to poke fun at mental health.
I was thinking diabetes, but you're not borderline. You're just full-blown diabetic.
Full-blown.
Yeah, that's right.
Type 2. I am borderline type 3. It's not even a thing, and they're giving me a new one. Why'd you just write a 3?
I typed a 3.
Thank you.
I was going to type a 2, but I was too late.
Oh. Oh, because I said it?
Yeah, you said type 2, so I was about to type a 2.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a visual joke on an audio podcast.
That's
the best,
right.
The best kinds of jokes.
The best kind. I don't know what we're talking about. Just let's move on.
You're talking about borderline.
Yeah. Madonna.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was saying. It's fine.
Yeah, because I said you're borderline a lot of things.
Yeah, I know, but what were you talking about right before that?
We were talking about you were on the borderline of like harming animals. We were talking about harming animals, yeah.
Yeah, so
I think I know where you're going here.
So I was just telling somebody when I was little, I would disappear, and my mom would have every junkie in the do we call them a different name? Like when you call like prostitutes, hookers, you know,
sex workers.
So now you're saying, oh, we need to say sex workers.
Drug users. We'll call them drug users.
Junkie. So my mom had every junkie.
Why are you gonna ask if we call them a different name?
Nah, because I was kind of mocking you.
Oh.
I was mocking your PC bullshit. And my mom had every junkie in the neighborhood looking for me. And I don't know why she just didn't get regular people. I guess they were busy.
Yeah.
So she'd have them looking for me, and here I would come home, and this one particular time I came home and I had a backpack. Actually, I had a box full of kittens.
Your mom was like the Sherlock Holmes of South Philly. She had the Baker Street Irregulars.
Yeah, the Second Street.
The Second Street Junkies.
Yeah, I'm writing a book. Yeah. So she had all these people looking for me, and here I come, you know, down the street with a box full of kittens. And like one time, I remember I was hanging out at an abandoned house with a bunch of kittens, and I stuffed a bunch of them in my backpack, and I brought them home, and I let them out in my closet. And my mom opened up the closet, you know, she was like, "What the fuck's that noise?" And she opens up the closet, and all these cats run out. And
this is my worst nightmare.
And there's like a picture of that I have too, like where I'm sitting at my kitchen table. This is going to be posted on the page where we always talk about pictures.
True Social.
And then we never post the picture.
Yeah, we have to put this on True Social.
Right. Yeah. Dude, there's probably like 1,002 pictures at this point that we've talked about and you know, for the last 3.5 years and just never posted. Anyway, but then there was this one time where something happened with a cat, and I threw a cat down the steps. And my mom goes, "You got a mean streak in you, boy." And it just stuck with me for whatever reason. And then, like, when I start reading about it later on, it's like, yeah, kids that, like, harm animals or whatever are, like, you know, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or not kids that harm animals, but a lot of serial killers harmed animals. And it was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Like, where did I go right? you know, that yeah. that I didn't end up, because I mean, have you ever thought about wanting to kill? I've asked you this. The answer is no. You've never thought about killing anybody, right?
No, no,
never. You've never had a thought in your mind where you're just like, I'm gonna kill somebody.
I feel bad about killing bugs.
I do too. I do. I feel bad about killing bugs. I mean, I kill them, but I feel bad about it.
Yeah,
you know. Because, like, what if there are little, like, you know, alien overlords?
Yeah.
They just work backwards.
It is. They always say it is a bug planet.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
That's neither here nor there.
It's there.
Where?
On planet... I
love that planet.
Yeah. It's where they're from.
So, Anthony Allen Shore, 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, stabs a kitten because he wasn't allowed to play with it.
I never stabbed a kitten, by the way.
I that was not the story I thought you were going to tell. I thought you were going to tell the story about killing a mouse. Didn't you glue a mouse's mouth shut?
Yeah, yes. Okay, so my mom, I don't know if she was coming in or she was going out, like, to the front. So I don't know what it was, but I guess on by the front steps or, like, on our sidewalk or something, there was a mouse, and it had all this white stuff coming out of its, you know, out of its mouth. And my mom was like, what the heck? And she...
this is the mom of Jackson Wells, the character.
No.
Oh,
no, okay. This is real.
Okay.
And my mom goes, what? Oh, God damn. I seem like such a serial killer right now.
Yeah, this is going to be the episode of the show that gets played in the trial someday.
See?
And now subpoena... Murder, my dude, episode... What episode is this? Like 139 or something?
No
140?
Idea. 140? I have no idea. So my mom goes, what happened? And I go, oh, I go, that's my friend. And my mom goes, your friend? And I go, yeah. And she goes, well, what happened? Like, what did you do? And I go, well, he was hugging me and he was loving me and then he bit me. So I glued his mouth shut and beat him with a paddle. Which apparently...
Yeah, you glued a mouse's mouth shut and beat him with a paddle.
Beat him with a paddle.
I mean,
I guess he was in my toy, at a toy chest. It was like in between my closet, which was the closet where I put all the cats, and my wall. It was like this built in.
He's probably trying to stay the fuck out of that closet.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I got too many of these motherfuckers.
I'm not going in the cat closet.
And so I must have found a mouse and I was playing with the mouse.
You were loving the mouse.
And somehow,
and
hugging
loving
it,
you.
Hugging it and loving it. And then
and you named him George.
Right. And then I guess I got one of my paddles. And
kids often just have paddles laying around.
You know the paddle that had the ball?
Yeah, the paddle with, ball, yeah.
Yeah, like the attached to it. It was I think it was one of those paddles.
Yeah, the whips and chains too.
Yes. Yeah. I was a very S&M driven kid. And so I don't know, because I was like probably 3 or 4, so I don't remember what happened. I don't know the story, but I think my mom took me to the hospital and they had me checked out and the thing never bit me.
Oh.
So I lied. I lied about the poor thing. I said I made up the story that he bit me and he never did. But he lost his life over that lie.
Yeah. Well, it was your alibi.
Yeah.
For mouse murder.
Yeah.
You're a mouse murderer.
My dude.
Mouse murder, my dude. There's a spinoff that's coming.
Is that going to be the episode title of this show? Oh, no, wait. We don't do that. We don't.
No,
do, like,
we.
We just call it what
it's going to be called. Tourniquet Killer, my dude.
Oh, okay.
So
it's about Marilyn Manson.
No, songs. It's about Anthony Allen Shore.
Oh,
and he was the one that stabbed the kitten. Not long after that, he also put a screwdriver through his sister's head. His sister Regina. She survived the attack.
Oh.
And the Shore family did move around a lot. As Anthony, who was born on June 25th, 1962, was growing up, he would have a birthday coming up, but he is dead. At the time of Anthony's birth, the Shores were living on the Ellsworth Air Force Base in Rapid City, South Dakota. By the time the attacks on the kitten and Regina happened, the family had made their way to Shawnee, Kansas. They would bounce around even more after that, with the family even stopping in Florida while Anthony's father worked with NASA. The frequent moves led to Anthony being not very well adjusted and having difficulty making friends. During a stop in Alabama, around the time he was 9 or 10, Anthony described himself as the school's whipping boy, and his classmates later recalled him constantly acting afraid and mad.
Hmm.
One area where Anthony excelled from a young age was music. He was a bit of a prodigy, and was playing in piano recitals by the age of 5. His parents frequently squabbled and are said to have cheated on one another frequently. Though the claims were never fully investigated, Anthony claims that his mother molested him in his early teens as well. What was certain was that Anthony was growing up fast. His parents divorced when he was in his mid-teens, and he started drinking and smoking marijuana regularly. He was considered good-looking by many and was fairly charismatic and was often the object of crushes from his sister's friends. But that goodwill didn't last, as Anthony was quickly slapped with the creepy label for stalking and harassing girls he was interested in. With his home life in shambles, Anthony dropped out of high school at the age of 17 in 1979.
Me too.
In 1979?
No,
at the age
of
17?
No. I was 17 when I dropped out of school, yeah.
He worked 2 jobs to support himself.
Oh.
Well. And he won legal emancipation from his mother. At 21, he wound up moving to Texas, his favorite of the many places his family called home in his childhood, and he wound up in the Houston area. And it was Texas where Anthony Shore, now 21, met the woman he would describe as the love of his life, Gina Lynn Worley. He was moonlighting as a musician at the time, but he found study work as a telephone lineman.
Hmm.
So it was just the guy who would be like up on the telephone pole, like working on the lines and stuff. Gina became pregnant, and the two were married on March 25th.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was a telephone like football player.
Yeah, he was a telephone lineman. He would block the other phone companies from going up the pole.
Right. Yeah.
A second daughter, Tiffany. So his first.
That'd be cool if they did that. Like. It's kind of like King of the Hill or whatever, you know, Rumble Fumble.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, it's whoever gets up there, you know.
Wins.
Yeah,
wins the phone line.
Yeah.
We don't really have a lot of landlines anymore. It'd be more like climbing the cell tower now.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game.
The world's most dangerous game.
Right.
So they have their first daughter, Amber, in March of 84. About 14 months later, in 85, they had their second daughter, Tiffany. I don't know if they had a third daughter, Thiessen. I don't think so, though.
That would be funny.
The family often struggled financially, though. They'd have to ration out showers at points.
Oh, wow.
Any extra money they had would usually go to putting on airs that they were the perfect family. Anthony would make sure his daughters had material things, but they would often come up short on the essentials. In a documentary for the ID Network, Tiffany Shore claimed that while they had the latest video games and things like that, Anthony Shore would buy steaks and other high-end things for himself, while Tiffany recalled once complaining about having to eat peanut butter from an ant-infested jar and being told that she could buy her own food if she didn't like it.
Oh, jeez.
It's protein. It's extra protein on your... It's crunchy.
That is not it's what I meant
butter.
By I want ants on a log, Dad!
I was just cream cheese for ants on a log.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, yeah.
Abuse toward Anthony and Anthony, that's the guy who did the abusing. Abuse toward Tiffany, her sister, would be of the physical nature as well. Tiffany recalled that everything needed to be structured just the way her father wanted it, and that he'd lash out if things went wrong.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, people would put peanut butter on, like, pretzels or peanut butter, even peanut butter on celery, which is strange.
I've had peanut butter on celery before. Yeah.
And then obviously cream cheese on celery.
That's when we would do dance a lot. It'd be cream cheese, celery, and like raisins.
Raisins, right? Yeah, I love raisins.
Raisins are good. Crying in particular was not good to Anthony Shore. He despised crying. He beat his daughters, binding them in their blankets, and if they cried, he would hold a pillow over their faces.
Yeah, a lot of people back then didn't like. I remember when I would cry as a kid. My dad would go, keep it up, and I'll give you something to cry about. It's like, hey, I already had something to cry about the first time.
That's why I'm crying.
Yeah. What, you're hitting me for crying? You want to hit me? You want to make me cry more? I'm only going to cry more. I'm not going to stop. I think they wanted to do that. Like, you got to a point to where you were just, like, so traumatized that you just literally couldn't cry anymore because you're like, if I even fucking do that, and then, you know, that shit sits with you.
Well, yeah, that during this documentary, Tiffany Shore even said, like, to this day, I still have trouble showing emotion.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is. It is. Eventually, the abuse would graduate from physical to sexual.
Oh, Jesus.
Hot chocolate was a common treat in the Shore home, and Tiffany recalled at some points that the drink would taste funny. She attributed it at the time to being a...
No, 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 no. Oh, don't tell me.
I don't think it's what you might be thinking.
Okay. Oh, good. All
right. She attributed the time to being a cheap off-brand version.
Okay.
Invariably, she would grow very tired shortly after drinking it.
Oh.
Okay. There were times after...
So he was Cosby-ing her shit.
Yes.
Gotcha.
There were times after that that she would recall waking up and finding herself completely naked being fondled by her father. And this is around the time she's like 9, 10, 11, something like that.
Fucking Jesus.
Tiffany kept this a secret, even to her closest friend, her sister Amber, out of fear that speaking up would make things worse, would lead to Amber being targeted instead. Little did Tiffany know that at the time, Amber was being abused as well. At one point, the girls said...
You know, hold on, stop for a minute. It makes you think, like, how many people... But that's the thing, is you can't sit there and go, oh, poor you. You were probably, you know, molested as a kid, but... What are you doing?
Making sure I have food out of the worst brought up.
Oh, okay. You can't sit there and go, oh, poor you, and then, you know, feel bad for somebody that didn't have, you know, something didn't happen to. But at the same time, it's like you don't know if something happens sometimes because they didn't speak up. And you start to wonder how many people that you knew or you're around, like, that should happen to.
Like, tons, I'm sure.
Fucking. Let me tell you something. I will be on this show in a different capacity if I ever found out somebody touched my fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I ever found out anybody fucking touched my kids, I would do unspeakable things to them. I don't care. I think I would snap.
Yeah, at some point, like, that might be, like, that's one of those things where it could be like, yeah, it's worth the whatever repercussions.
Yeah. Yeah. But wow, I just wonder how many people like I knew. Like, fuck, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I can't sit there and dwell on that either because that's a lot of energy to put, especially when you don't know. Right. What are you going to do? Go and ask everybody, hey, how are you? Oh, by the way, you don't do that. Like,
no, of course not. That's something that they should bring up.
Right.
Like, some people might not be comfortable with it.
It's a shame. Like, I went through it. And I didn't say it for a long time. I didn't tell anybody for a long time. I remember the first person I remember telling was this girl, Renee. And I remember her making fun of me for it. And...
which is why a lot of people didn't talk about it.
I mean, I was like 18 when I told her, though.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anybody for a long time. Because for me, it didn't bother me as much as it bothered, you know, other, like, you know, stuff like that bothers other people.
Everybody reacts to things
differently.
Yeah,
because for me, I didn't know when stuff was happening that it was, like, bad. It was like... Oh, and when I found out later, you know, because at the time I wasn't like, you know, this is wrong. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people, like a lot of kids, I think a lot of parents are afraid to talk to their kids about stuff. It's like that whole, that Jay Moore.
Oh, we can leave school?
Yeah, we can leave school. Which, go ahead, set up the
thing. So yeah, Jay Moore, when he was in high school. Him and a bunch of his friends went to a wrestling show and they saw this one wrestler, Bobo Brazil, who was one of the first black wrestlers who would wrestle in mixed cards with white wrestlers and be a main event top guy. And they see Bobo Brazil after the show and he's a good guy. He's what they call in wrestling a baby face. And so, hey, Bobo Brazil, like, they're all happy to see him. They say, like, he's getting into a Cadillac with a white woman. And he looks at them and goes, stay in school, kids. Ha, ha, ha. And they all look around at each other and go, we can leave school?
Right.
And that became the big takeaway.
And I think that parents are against sex education and all this stuff because they think that if you teach the kid about it, like my one ex would give me, why are you telling him this? When I would, you know, tell my son something, I'm like, I'm telling him because I don't want him to repeat this shit. Oh, because you think that you know, he's not going to find out shit from other kids. And then when they're not taught stuff, you know.
That's the idea. You don't want it to be, you don't want them to learn without it being under your control. That's
why I think sex education in school is a fucking wonderful thing. I think a lot of parents have in their minds, my kids won't know about sex if you don't talk about sex. It's not how it works. It's not how the fucking world works. You act like you weren't a teenager once.
Yeah.
You act like you weren't, you know, whatever. These kids need to learn about this shit. And, you know, also, you got to speak up. You know, I know it's tough. I know it's hard, but you got to fucking speak up. You have to say something. If somebody's doing something, touching you, and, you know, like, even if it's just a creepy way, even if it's not like, and I'm not trying to make a joke, but even if you're not being diddled or something, like, even if it's just like caressing, you got to speak up. You got to tell somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kids that are listening to this podcast, first of all, don't listen to this podcast. Yeah,
stop
for kids.
Stop listening, kids. Buy the merch, though. Yeah. Have your parents buy a...
go into your parents' wallets and buy the little pictures.
No, stop it, Soupy. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the... I'm sorry, it just took me... All right, it just took me to a weird place. Go ahead.
So, at one point, they didn't speak up, unfortunately. At one point, the girl... At least at this point. Eventually, they did, and that's going to be the end of the story. At one point, the girl's school sent a report to Child Protective Services. The people at the school thinking the girls look malnourished and uncared for. Anthony Short convinced them that the person coming from Child Protective Services was their enemy, was trying to take them out of the house, and they'll never see each other again. They'll live in different like places. And so they played the role of loving, cared for daughters, and nothing came of it. Tiffany also recalled her father keeping odd hours in retrospect for a telephone repairman. He would often leave for work when it was still dark outside, like super early, which is normal.
Yeah.
He got to work on the phone lines. But oftentimes he'd also come home late at night around like 9, 10, 11 o'clock. You got to remember, they're not exactly rich, so he's not pulling in like that kind of overtime. At points, he'd lock his daughters in the house with an outdoor deadbolt, nailing the windows shut as well, and telling him it was for their protection. By the mid-90s, Anthony and Gina's marriage had crumbled after confessed infidelities by Anthony. He would then date and marry Amy Lynch. He was 33 at the time they met. Amy was 18. The distance from their father led to Amber and Tiffany, now aged 9 and 10, to accuse their father of molestation. Formal charges came for molestation on Halloween Day 1997, shortly after Anthony Shore had married Amy Lynch. Early the next year, Shore struck a plea avoiding jail time. He was, however, put on probation, was listed as a sex offender, and was required to provide a DNA sample. DNA stuff was really, really starting to pick up in the late 90s. He would later tell Amy that providing a sample made him nervous, and he came up with the idea of leaving the country by boat. I like that he specified by boat.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the first ship out of here, see?
Oh, I thought it was by paddle boat.
Yeah. You and those paddles. Something he never went through with. Amy Shore had her own horror story dealing with Anthony.
I did have another paddle incident, too.
I bet you did.
I had an oar.
Oar.
And I remember smashing it one time.
Smashing the oar. It sounds dirty. It
sounds very dirty.
Smashing the oar.
Yeah.
So Amy Shore had her own horror story dealing with Anthony. She claimed that he physically intimidated her and insisted on choking her during sex. Like Tiffany, Amy also accused Anthony of drugging her. She recalled waking at one point to find Anthony choking her during sex while she was sleeping, and she pretended to still be passed out of fear she'd be killed if she didn't.
Oh, jeez.
Eventually, Amy and Anthony did divorce in 1999. Another girlfriend, Pauline Cody, would also leave Anthony after waking up to finding him having sex with her and attempting to strangle her. By 2003... Anthony's fear of submitting a DNA sample after his molestation conviction would prove itself to be well-founded. And exploring that further does require us to take a little trip back in time. Advances in DNA technology allowed police in 2003 to extract a usable DNA sample from the matter found under the fingernails of Maria del Carmen Estrada, a 21-year-old...
I remember her. She was on MTV.
That was Carmen Electra. This is Maria del Carmen Estrada, a 21-year-old woman found behind a Houston Dairy Queen frequented by area prosecutors. Estrada was found with facial trauma and
I thought that said by area prostitutes.
No.
I glanced real fast.
You always want those Dairy Queen prostitutes. Yeah. Those Dairy Queen sex workers.
Right, they're very creamy.
Yeah.
It's Dairy Cream.
Dairy Cream, yeah.
Yeah.
Estrada was found with facial trauma and was partially nude. Her pants were off, her underwear and pantyhose pulled down. Her shirt was open and her bra was cut.
That all this is not funny. There's a wrestler. He had the name Estrada, and he would say, he would go,
what was his name?
Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Listen to me.
Escúchame.
Yes. I love that guy. I miss him. He was great.
He was great.
With his, he would always manage Umaga.
Umaga. Yeah. He was fucking fantastic, dude.
I really miss him now.
Because everything he said stuck with you.
He was a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything he said stuck with. He was like a grand wizard type or something.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
He was. And you didn't realize it at the time.
No, you're like, this is too gimmicky. This is gimmicky.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was gimmicky. It was awesome.
It was great. I fucking miss it.
So they found her, they found her DNA under Anthony Shore's fingernails, they found DNA from Anthony Shore under her fingernails, defensive wounds. Police brought Shore in and launched into a marathon 11-hour interrogation, which culminated in Shore's confession to the rape and murder of Estrada. He'd given her a ride home the night of the killing, April 16th, 1992, and said he'd made sexual...
Didn't they make a song, didn't Sublime... Sing April. Oh, it was April 26th, 1992.
Right. Yeah. So this was 10 days before that.
Oh.
He had made sexual advances toward her, which caused her into, in his words, freak out. She freaked out because he was
freaked out.
Shore overpowered Estrada used a pair of shears as a weapon while raping her.
He's too much wrestling. Now he's turning into fucking Brutus Beefcake.
He then placed a nylon cord around her neck. Now he's turning into Chris Benoit.
Oh, Jesus.
He used as a ligature, almost like a tourniquet, which is how he earned his nickname.
Now he's turning into Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where I went with that one.
Yeah.
I saw ligature and I'm thinking figure four, nature boy. I don't know. I don't know how I got ligature.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, all right. Whatever.
Well, he is being a little handsy. So I guess that's a Ric Flair thing.
Well, that's not what I meant.
Shore used a piece of wood to tighten and loosen the ligature, effectively controlling Estrada's ability to breathe, and eventually he used it to choke her to death. Yeah, he would
literally,
like...
this is where my mind went. Well, nature is kind of ligature, right? Mm-hmm. I saw that part, and then I saw leg, and Ric Flair does the figure four leg lock. And somehow, my brain connected those leg and nature together. Mm-hmm. And I saw ligature, and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. It didn't make sense.
It didn't.
No. Mm-mm.
Shockingly, Anthony Shore would confess to three more murders. The first was in 1986 when he was 24, and at that point he had made a habit of giving rides to 14-year-old Lori Tremblay. On one such ride, Shore made sexual advances, or as I have in here, sequel advances. I put it a C instead of an X.
He made secular advances.
Secular advances.
Yeah.
Look, there's no God.
There's no God. Right? Listen. All right.
Stop.
I know you're 14, but there's no God. Leave me alone. I believe in Jesus.
You definitely do make secular.
Power of Christ compels you.
You definitely do make secular advances.
I 100% do.
On one such ride, Shore made sexual advances to 14-year-old Lori Tremblay, and Lori told him to stop. There was an argument, and he strangled her with a cotton cord. Shore told police he didn't use a ligature like that in the future murders because, he basically choked her like you would if you were, like, doing a Garrett, basically. He said he injured his finger in the killing, and that's why he started using he would twist it around like a piece of wood or something.
Oh.
On October 19th, 1993.
Poor guy, he hurt his finger.
A year plus after the death of Maria del Carmen Estrada.
Nope.
Shore broke into the home of Selma Jenks.
Yeah, I remember her. She was in,
Go ahead.
Nah, never mind.
No, I want to hear it.
I saw Selma.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to say it, are you?
No.
You think of like Martin Luther King? Like the March on Selma?
I was thinking of Selma Hayek, you racist.
That's Selma.
Oh!
Selma Hayek. I thought Patty and Selma, Marge Simpson's sisters.
Oh, I was thinking of the girl from Scooby-Doo.
That's Velma. So Shorebrook in the home of Selma Jansk, we'll say. At 14.
See, this is where my mind went. It went. Here's how it happened. I saw Selma and I saw Jansk and I thought of Velma and Jinkies.
Okay.
So
it's Jansk, I believe.
Jansk, Jinkies, whatever, dude. Look, listen. I think two things.
Haha.
One, I think I am dyslexic, partly. Two, I'm stupid. So there's that.
I don't think you're dyslexic.
Thank you.
So Selma was a 14-year-old girl that Anthony Shore had been watching from a distance. Shore knew she usually would be home alone for a bit right after school, so he basically broke into her house and hid in wait and surprised her when she came into her home. Concealing his identity with baggy clothes and a bandana over his face, Shore overpowered the girl and bound her hands with electrical cord and then wrapped her head in duct tape before raping her at knife point. She escaped as he attempted to strangle her, and he vowed to come back for her and her family if she reported the crime. Shore would later confess to watching the girl during his work as a telephone man.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Telephone Man.
All right.
He would work on the telephone lines. He saw this 14-year-old girl walking home from school. He got smitten.
So fucking nervous because I have a daughter. Like... Yeah. It's like you should worry about all of your kids, and I do. I have two boys and a girl, but
and
like,
a pizza place.
I don't have a pizza place. Oh. I wish I did. I could go for some pizza.
Me too.
Yeah, I want a slice of pizza now. But no, man, it makes me fucking nervous because I have a daughter, and you know, like my daughter is a tough little bitch, but like, you know, what happens if she gets attacked and she freezes in fear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how tough you are sometimes. Like, sometimes you just don't know. Oh, God. See, I hate this shit.
This is why I put an advisory on this one.
I know, but I have to do the show. Yeah. What am I going to say? I'm sitting out, coach.
Thank you for calling me coach.
Chief.
Literally my job title. Coach. What are my job titles?
All right, come on.
He told.
Do you have a whistle? Is your name
I need a
John
whistle.
Tolos?
I need a whistle. Mm. I need a whistle and a clipboard.
Mr. Perfect.
And I need a play chart.
Yeah.
He told police he fantasized about raping her but not murdering her and felt at the time
Can
that...
Can I be Dauber?
Yeah.
Cool.
Not when you'd be Luther. I want you to be Jerry Van Dyke.
Jerry Van Dyke is great.
I love Jerry Van Dyke.
Is he still alive or did
no,
he die?
No, he died.
Oh, he died?
Dick is still alive.
Dick is still alive, yeah.
So Shore told police he fantasized about raping her but not murdering her and felt at the time that not killing her was proof he could, quote, beat the evilness. You can beat the evilness by raping a 14-year-old girl, apparently.
I wonder if this guy wanted to beat the evilness. Like, there's just something in him.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I said this before. Like,
I think a lot of these people do understand there's something deeply wrong with them.
Yeah. But, like, do they want to be fixed, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to some people. So, kill them. It's like, yeah, because you're not going to be able to rehabilitate this guy.
That's true.
So it's like, what? Kill? I'm all for killing this guy.
It would take less than a year to show that he did not beat the evilness.
No.
On August 7th, 1994, Shore, now 32, saw 9-year-old Diana Rebelar walking down the street while he was driving in the telephone repair van that basically allowed him to hide in plain sight. Because especially back then when landlines were the thing, like, there's no cell phones in 94, barely. Like, they're the big... blocky ones and car phones and things like that, but
the Paul Heyman one,
yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, you still had it was not like back then for us, it was not uncommon to see a Bell Atlantic van and a guy working on a telephone pole.
Oh, no, definitely
Bell Atlantic.
I don't remember seeing anybody though with a cell phone,
unless it was
Paul Heyman,
yeah,
like literally. Like, I don't know if I ever saw anybody else with a cell phone, mm-hmm. in person. My dad had a car phone, and my grandmother, I think, had a car phone.
Noticing no one was around, Shore forced Rebelar into the van where he taped her hands and feet together. After sexually assaulting her, leaving her bloody, he strangled Rebelar with a rope and a bamboo stick her body on a loading dock of a nearby building, wearing only a black t-shirt pulled up to her armpits.
I'm not even going to make a fucking wrestling reference there with the, well, yeah, I just did with the bamboo stick.
Yeah.
Like, but what the fuck is like,
like
none,
I said,
none of it, none of it is good. You know, none of it's acceptable, but like, why does it get progressively worse?
This is the worst person we've talked about in a long time. It's been a while. Shore's final murder came on July 6, 1995, and it began when he saw Diana Sanchez, 16, at a payphone. Like some of his previous attacks, Shore lured Sanchez in by offering her a ride, and then escalated things by touching her. Shore turned especially violent after Sanchez bit his chest, and he murdered her by wrapping a yellow rope around her neck and tightening the rope with a toothbrush. He, like, twist a toothbrush around to make it tighter.
Okay. All
fact that that's how he would do it. He would use like a stick or like a toothbrush to turn around.
You know what? For whatever reason, none of it was connecting, mm-hmm. and now I get it.
They said he would like tighten it and then loosen it so they could breathe a little bit and then tighten it again. It was a control thing.
Dude, I literally just got fucking chills. Like,
well, the air conditioning
is so fucking hot. No. Well, yeah, probably. But I mean, it's so fucking.
Are they multiplying?
This is very disturbing.
It is. Despite the fact that Sanchez was found nude, Shore claimed to have not sexually assaulted her. The trial of Anthony Shore was quick. There's a lot of evidence. He had a confession. Many in his own family testified against him, including his children. In late 2004, Shore was found guilty of the murder of Maria del Carmen Estrada, which was the only one he was formally charged with, given that there was the most evidence in that case. And he asked to be executed. He asked for and received the death penalty. Shore did have a last-minute confession to dozens of more rapes right before scheduled execution, but evidence was lacking, and it was later thought to have been a lie concocted to keep himself alive for a little while longer while they investigated, as his desire to face his own end dwindled as the years went on. The lie gave Anthony Allen Shore, now 55, about another 90 days, as he was executed by lethal injection on January 18th, 2018. He was the first person executed in the United States that year. Quote, "I made my peace," was Shore's prepared final statement, but he did let out a ooh-wee during the injection process.
Do you think he said it like that? Like Rick and Morty?
Ooh-wee!
Maybe it was like a ooh-wee.
Like, ooh-wee! Yeah, probably.
Ooh-wee! Ooh-wee! Like ooh-wee! Ouchie!
Ooh-wee! Yeah, like,
ooh-wee!
He let that out during the injection process, saying he felt a burning sensation as the deadly chemicals entered his body.
Oh, dude. Well, it is time to pack up and leave immediately.
No, we got something else to do here.
Unlock that door.
It's time for another game of Who Died the Worst.
That's right, everybody. It's time for your favorite game and mine. Who died the worst? Yeah. It's not who died the funniest.
Yep.
It's not who died the first. Uh-huh. It could be, actually. It could be who died the funniest as well.
Yeah.
But the name of the game is who died the worst.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to give Jackson Wills over
That's
here
me.
Three deaths.
Yep.
He's going to tell me which of these three died the worst.
I am.
So we're going to do something we haven't done in a little while. We are going to do
each other.
Huh?
Huh?
What are we going to do?
What? Come on. Play it again.
Celebrity who died the worst. Oh. These are all celebrities who died in interesting ways.
Okay.
Do you remember, it's funny, we were just talking about Jay Moore earlier. Do you know who Margaret Wise Brown is?
I do not, no.
She was a children's author, and one of her things that she wrote was Goodnight Moon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which made me think of the Simpsons thing where it's like, look, Maggie, it's Christopher Walken reading Goodnight Moon.
Goodnight Moon.
Yeah, and it's Jay Moore doing the Walken impression. Goodnight Room. Goodnight Moon.
Goodnight Cow. Jump over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
His is obviously mine. Is, yeah. No, you know,
his Walken is incredible.
But his Walken is so fucking... it's not even that his Walken, it's... Just yeah. that, the whole premise.
Yeah. So Margaret Wise Brown wrote Goodnight Moon, okay. amongst nearly 100 other children's books.
Oh,
but when she was 42 years old, she
yeah,
was...
That's how old I am.
She wasn't feeling well. She was in Europe at the time.
I am not.
And she found that she had an ovarian cyst. Do you think you have an ovarian cyst?
I mean, don't assume my gender.
I didn't. I asked if you thought you had an ovarian cyst.
Don't assume
cyst.
My gender. You're making fun of me.
I'm not.
Because you think that I'm a male. No, I don't.
So she was in the hospital being treated for this, and she was ready to leave. But it was a Catholic hospital, and the nuns were a little concerned and wanted to make sure she was doing okay. So she was like, I'll show them how well I'm doing. She got up and kicked a foot high in the air to show like she's as fresh as a daisy and as strong as an ox. And she did that.
She's a can-can girl.
Yeah. But as
look,
she
I can kick my head.
As she did that,
she fell backwards.
No.
Oh.
She the force of the kicking motion
oh no.
dislodged a blood clot in her leg, which quickly traveled to her brain and killed her.
Oh, fuck, dude.
So death number one is you want to leave the hospital and you want to show them how good you're feeling. So you kick your leg up in the air, dislodging a blood clot.
You can the blood clot.
You can the blood clot right near your brain.
Right. Ew, ew. Ouch, ouch.
That's death number one.
Right.
Death number two.
Today.
Is,
I am the unluckiest woman.
On the face of the earth.
On the face of the earth.
So death number two. Is death number two. I'm just gonna say the name and you're gonna know how he died.
Okay.
Sonny Bono.
Oh yeah. CIA. He was murdered.
Well, we're gonna go with the official version.
Oh, the official one. Oh, he was skiing and he hit a tree.
Yeah. Right after and so eerie because Michael Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy's son,
yeah,
did the same thing.
Isn't it? Whose wife just died by
a few years ago? Liam Neeson's wife died in a skiing accident.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually later on. She.
What was her name?
Natasha Richardson.
I was gonna say Natasha Lyonne. Wrong.
No, that's the girl from Russian Doll. Still alive.
Yeah.
And American Pie and Orange Is the New
Black. Right. Yeah.
Natasha Richardson. She had a skiing accident. Said she was fine, but she had like bleeding on the brain and just went into a coma and never woke up.
Oh, jeez.
I guess she turned down medical treatment. If she would have gotten it at that point, she probably would have lived.
Well, they said that about Dale Earnhardt. If he would have wore that
Hans device, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Hans device.
Yeah.
So yeah, death number two is skiing into a tree. The famous Sonny Bono death. And death number three is from a model actor in the 80s, John Eric Hexum. And
I remember him. He was the lead singer for 311.
That's Nick Hexum? Okay. October.
You said okay. You said okay.
I wasn't sure.
No, but I know. But I shook my head. I didn't say yes.
Yeah, you nodded. Yeah.
I nodded.
Audio, a visual cue on an audio podcast. So on October 12th, 1984, John Eric Hexum, he was filming a show called Cover Up. And it was a TV series, and one of the scenes that day, he was supposed to load cartridges into a 44 Magnum handgun.
So
he was given an actual gun and blanks.
Okay.
And he was getting a little bored because there were some shooting delays. They kept wanting to redo it. So just to play around, he put one of the blanks in the gun, spun it around like he was playing Russian roulette, put the gun to his head.
And the force?
Pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
And some of the guns, some blanks will use like paper or plastic wadding.
Right.
That will seal gunpowder into the cartridge so it doesn't go out.
Isn't this what happened with what's his face?
Who?
Brandon Lee? I believe so.
There was something in a prop gun. There was like a piece of wood or something and they got shot out.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, this was just like a
part of the blank. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was paper wadding in the blank.
With the force, right?
Yeah, and it didn't penetrate his skull. Like, it didn't go through his skull.
But it was enough.
But it hit his head hard enough that it fractured a quarter-sized piece of his skull and pushed it into his brain.
Right. Oh,
and he died of massive cerebral hemorrhaging.
Yeah. Well, this is an easy one for me, by the way.
So I'm going to ask you, Jackson Wells, two questions.
Yeah.
Who died the worst and why is it number one?
Because
you're afraid of blood clots.
I am afraid of blood clots.
Good.
And I'm not gonna fuck with a gun and I'm not going skiing. But I am afraid of blood clots.
What if you go skiing with a gun?
And a blood clot.
A blood clot.
Yeah.
That's a
noob. Oh no. What if you're skiing and your gun is loaded with a blood clot?
in a blank. It's a blank, but it has a blood clot wadding.
Oh.
I made a joke like, skink with a gun, who would do that? And then I remembered that there's an Olympic event in the Winter Olympics called the biathlon, which is literally cross-country skiing and shooting.
Yeah. Okay.
So who skis and shoots? The Swiss.
Right.
That's who.
So it's number one because it's the craziest thing. Like,
I'll show you how good I have kick.
I'm going to kick my leg above my... What? Why? Sit the fuck down, lady. Like, what is wrong with you?
Well, she had an ovarian cyst. And apparently a blood clot.
Oh, let me kick the fuck out of here. I'm not saying she deserved it. I'm just saying that's, in my opinion, the worst.
Yeah.
It's just that she died the worst, in my opinion. They're all bad, obviously. Oh, fuck yeah. Okay. I hate blood clots.
And that just about wraps up this. We talked about a lot of things you hated today. Cats. Yeah.
Cats.
Blood clots.
Yep.
Child predators.
Rapes.
Rapes.
Walmarts.
Walmarts.
Aldi's.
Aldi's. Yeah. Unnecessary apostrophe S's at the end of things.
Fucking probably the thing I hate the most.
Speaking of that, I think the Primo's Hoagies by us is going to be opening soon.
Yeah. Yeah, Jersey Mike's is opening. I think they're able to start moving in July.
Yeah, I work right by that building. They're really going to town on it.
Yeah, but I think July is when they're able to move their stuff in.
I believe with Primo, the Target opening date is like June 28th, which is like next week.
So they're trying to do it right before. Yeah.
But they may have to delay it by a week or two, they said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That has nothing to do with that. That's neither here nor there.
It's there.
Where?
In is it possible?
Primo is in St. Clair.
Oh, it's St. Clair?
Yes.
Oh, it's all St. Clair then. Yeah. And I think that's why our local hoagie shop opened up as quickly as they did.
Yeah, they
went to these other two.
They wanted to beat the chains.
Oh, they need to establish their
dominance.
Customer. No, they're because they want to get their regulars.
Yeah.
You know those people are going to go, they're going to try. Now, there's going to be some goofball that's going to be like, I'll never try Jersey Mike's or Primo's. I love this, you know, XYZ.
Yeah.
It's like.
It's TNT in that town.
Oh, I was talking about the one here.
Yeah, the one here. I know what you meant. Yeah.
I actually like TNT. I've had theirs before. I think it was my dad that didn't like them. He thought that they were, there was too much meat.
There is a lot. They
do put a lot on there.
It reminds me of the Mitch Hedberg.
It reminds me of Collingdale.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Collingdale Pizza. John, Mr. X, whatever. I remember. So, that's funny. I know where you're going. And my dad, I remember my dad saying this way before I heard the Mitch Hedberg thing. He goes, my dad gets a hoagie from Collingdale Pizza. And he goes, the guy asks, how was it? My dad goes, good. And it'd be better if I had some other people in it. And because he's like, you gave me a whole head of lettuce.
Yeah.
And like, you know, two full fucking tomatoes. Mm-hmm. He's like, just give me some more people. And Mitch Hedberg did the same joke.
Yeah. Do you want anything else? Like a chair and some other people, some chairs and I don't know, some bread and some other people. Or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's our show.
That is. And we're sticking to it.
That's our show, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah.
And never take us alive, see?
Right.
Now I think I'm going to spend the rest of the evening looking up old Armando Alejandro Estrada clips.
Right. Well, I'm going to mosey on out of here. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
And we will see you next time with more murder.
My dude.
You know what's funny?
Truth Social?
Hilarious. It's my favorite running gag that we do. It's better than the here nor there one.
I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Go ahead. Ask me.
You know what's funny?
Jokes.
Of course. They're the funniest. You know who I think the first time that Armando Alejandro Estrada dude came out to on WWE?
Yeah.
You know who he interrupted?
Who?
The Ligature boy, Ric Flair.